Since the COVID-19 crisis, we have set to the side our regular exposition of Scripture in the mornings to go to various passages and texts of particular relevance to the matters at hand. We will, with God's help, be returning to that practice of a regular sequential exposition of God's Word. But I'd like us to consider one further proverb, as we have on and off been looking at various proverbs, that God, the Holy Spirit, might give us wisdom. And I trust we will see that the subject that is before us, though it may seem somewhat disconnected with the events that occupy our hearts and minds at this time, that it is not irrelevant whatsoever. And the text I would like us to consider with God's help this morning is Proverbs 18:21. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Solomon, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has given us a treasury of heavenly wisdom. Not only very practical guidance for our everyday life, which it is, and we should not neglect that literature that the Lord has given us, he has given to the church, that we might be wise, that we might succeed not only in this life, but what is more, that we may succeed through this life unto that which is to come. For truly, the Proverbs give us more than just simply practical wisdom, but spiritual and heavenly wisdom. Well, what our text treats is the issue of the tongue. The issue, the concern of the tongue. And this is a timeless topic at all times, perhaps even more so, that we find ourselves, though separated from others, nevertheless pushed together and confined. And how do we manage this tongue? And it is all the more relevant when we consider that what this proverb is treating are, in fact, life and death matters. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Right now, and to a degree, rightly so, we've been preoccupied with life and death matters, with a pandemic that every day causes new numbers to be rolled out, new cases and new deaths. And everyone, from the highest to the lowest, focusing upon these matters of great import and great weight, but it can be easily overlooked that there are other life and death matters. In fact, a very important one is the one before us, which abides with us during the COVID-19 crisis and will continue with us as a very real factor that contributes profoundly to death or life. Let us consider, with the Lord's help, the secret spring or cause of life and death. The secret spring or cause of life and death under 4 points. First, there is a secret. Second, this secret has profound potential. Third, this secret carries a profound threat. Fourth and last, we will consider the secret unveiled and searched out. So, first, there is a secret. Second, it has profound potential. Third, nevertheless, it carries with it a profound threat. Fourth and last, we will consider the secret unveiled and searched out. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. There is a little known secret, understood only by a very select few. Those who are wise, those who have ears to hear. Now everyone, unless something is fundamentally wrong with them upstairs, everyone is concerned about life, about securing it, providing for it, nourishing it, extending it, increasing its quality, and avoiding as much as possible all that which tends to suffering, pain, and death. But are we aware that there is something that is very close to us? In fact, if we put a face mask on, it has not put us at any distance whatsoever from its great power, for good or evil. It is the tongue, that small member. As James said, though it is so very small, like a little rudder on a ship, yet, because of that rudder, the captain of the ship is able to steer this mighty ship through the waters. A little match. Children, your parents tell you not to play with matches. Why is that? Well, it has the potential to do great things, to enable us to cook and to grill, but it also has potential to burn down our entire house. Well, there is this secret that the Holy Spirit is calling us to consider, and if we are wise, we will realize that even though there are, in fact, many promising opportunities to protect and to secure and to promote and advance and extend life, as well as many threats and dangers that could curtail, harm, or even end life, there is a little known secret. It is behind our teeth. It is the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now, second, this secret, this particular secret, has profound potential, for great good. Not just for great good, even the greatest of goods, that is life. Skin for skin, all that a man has will he give for his life. Life is so precious, so important. Well, if we can discover something that will contribute to it, not in a small way, but in a major and a profound way, then that should interest us. Everybody, at least everyone who has those gifts and abilities and the academic and scientific abilities to explore a vaccine, something that can treat this particular virus, everyone is interested in this. But there's something that is even more promoting of life, even more securing of life. It is the tongue. In the tongue, there is this secret power to promote life in a profoundly unique way. And those who not only know the secret, but make use of the secret, because this proverb, it goes further than simply talking about a knowledge of a secret. but rather capitalizing on it. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it, that is, they that appreciate it deeply and value it and make use of it, they will eat the fruit thereof. They will reap profound dividends, not just for others, but for themselves. Dear friends, godliness, which is simply another way of talking about the fear of the Lord in all its dimensions of our life, godliness does not contradict life and enjoying life. Rather, it serves it. It advances it. You don't want to be godly. You're not concerned about fearing God. You just simply want to be happy. What are you thinking? You will never be happy. You will never prevail. You will never succeed in life unless you are godly, unless you have a heart that has been given to you by God that is new, unless your stony heart is taken out in spiritual heart surgery and a soft, tender heart that listens to God and his truth. Only then are you going to be happy. They that love it shall eat the fruit. There's this promise. There's this promise. It will reap profound dividends, not just for others, but for themselves. The language here is the language of the field, of cultivation. Those who have a green thumb know the secret of the soil. It's a mysterious thing. This dark, massy substance beneath our feet, it has this great power. And for those who know its secrets, they are almost as though they were magicians. They are able to bring great fruit out of it. Now, it's not magic, to be sure. It's God's laws, the laws of nature, which they are getting in touch with. And when they learn it and they develop that and they put in the hard work, then they eat the fruit. There are the cucumbers. There is the lettuce. There are the peppers. Or if you like the fruits of fruit trees, you cultivate the oranges and the apples, and you, knowing the secrets of how these things are prepared, you make all these delicious foods. Well, what the Holy Spirit is saying to us here is that there is great fruit to cultivate and to enjoy, if you're willing to learn the secret. More than any other kind of practical know-how. There are great dividends, great earnings for those who are willing to invest, who know the secrets of analyzing promising new companies, new ideas, new technologies, and they get on board early on, and they find themselves reaping the benefits. So it is with those who know a secret of greater importance than cultivating the soil or investing in companies. Those who know the secret of what yields life will love it. They're epicures of life. True epicures, those who truly delight in life and cultivating life. In fact, the most cultured individual is the godly man or woman. They are able to enjoy life. Because to them, it's not just beautiful, captivating music. To them, it's not just delicious food. It is life. Don't you want to be involved in that? Maybe you are so like so many other Americans, you feel absolutely powerless before these major life and death issues. You're sheltered inside, or if you are able to go out and you're able to work, there's so many different protocols that you have to follow in order to ensure life. You feel so hemmed in. And truly, disease has an amazing way of mocking all our efforts. We can thank God that so far there has, so it seems to have been a level of success. But that's not always been the case, nor should we vainly assume that we are going to overcome every disease simply because we have developed with our scientific methods. But there is power right in your hands right now. And no, it's not in your hands, it's in your mouth. It's a small member of the tongue, and it has this great potential here and now. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Well, we have considered that this secret has profound potential, profound promise. Third, at the same time, the secret carries a profound threat. A profound threat. Just as there is potential for great good, even life, so there is the threat, the prospect of great harm. The same tongue. The same tongue can heal and it can harm. Have you not found that to be the case? Have you not known something of the power? Maybe you've been on the receiving end of cutting, scalding, burning words. Maybe you've had the blunt edge, the cudgel of crushing insults. There's power there. The tongue is so small it can leave someone broken and bleeding in their heart. And not just is there harm, the prospect of harm for others in this tongue, this little tongue, which can easily be, as so often it is, being set on fire with the very flame of hell. A little spark from the tongue causes great pain and hardship and sorrow. But that destructive force also is a threat for those who are ignorant of the secret. And they think they're doing themselves good by misusing their tongues with their neighbors, but they are only hurting themselves at the end of the day. Oh, the damage of the tongue, the harm of the tongue, the pain of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You're probably familiar with the Swedish chemist who was studying nitroglycerin and was trying to figure out a way to safely detonate nitroglycerin. Finally, he found a way and he made dynamite. And that revolutionized industry. But it also had a profound impact as it was used not just for good but for destructive purposes. This Swedish chemist, his name was Alfred Nobel. And dynamite was patented in 1867. Well, 21 years later, Alfred Nobel is rich, rich beyond his wildest dreams. But in 1888, he was astonished as he was reading a French newspaper to come across an obituary entitled, "The Merchant of Death is Dead." Well, somehow they had made a mistake thinking that Alfred Nobel was dead. No, it wasn't Alfred Nobel, but his brother Ludwig who was dead. They made this mistake and they published this article and it impacted, it hit him there in a moment that this dynamite, which was a profound discovery that could advance so many things in the lives of human beings could also be used for great harm. The merchant of death is dead. And so at that point, he changed his will to set aside funds for the Nobel Peace Prize. Well, so it is with the tongue. It has a dynamism to it. A great power far beyond its seeming potential. The appearance, it seems so weak, it seems so small, but oh, there is such great potential for good, but also a destructive potential at the same time. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Well, now let us come forth and last to the secret unveiled and searched out. The secret unveiled and searched out. Well, let us observe where it is not. Not where you might expect to find the power of life and death. Not in technology and science. Not in nutrition and medicine, not in the machinery of modern industry, modern government, or the modern military. It is not in nuclear power plants or weapons of mass destruction. But the Holy Spirit calls to our attention that there is this great power, this secret power, a power of life and death, and it rests in the force of human speech. Why is this so surprising? Because the tongue seems so innocent. Speech is considered so weak. But really, the reason why this is so surprising to most people is because most people are fools. By nature, men and women do not fear the Lord, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of true wisdom. Before such fools are enlightened by the Spirit of wisdom, yes, the Spirit of Christ in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, before such fools are enlightened, they stumble about as in the day, as though it were the darkest dungeon that ever was. To the wise, the perfect, they understand the little-known secret of the tongue that fools by nature cannot seem to grasp. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now, what does this surprising secret really mean? Well, let's clear away what it certainly doesn't mean. Negatively, this proverb is not saying that bare human words in and of themselves cause life and death. It is not saying that bare human words in and of themselves cause life and death. This is a kind of superstitious view of human speech. It's the old voodooism of ancient cultures. We often find it in the new garments of those who peddle the power of positive thinking, as Norman Vincent Peale. If you just simply affirm yourself, then you will become who you want to be. We encounter this in the wicked health and wealth gospel, where our words of faith, faith affirmations, are actually creative of life and blessedness. Their damnable teaching suggests to us that we are more or less little gods with creative speech power. And so if you want to change your life, then you need to speak it into existence. It's a false perversion of God's word. We are not gods. Cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Let us be done with all that godless, idolatrous, pagan thinking, that if we just get the right words in the right order and we repeat them, then we will thereby push the buttons and pull the strings to release to us what we want at the end of the day. This is not Christianity. And if you're messing with a so-called Christianity that looks like this, run. Run away as far as you can. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So make no mistake, this is not teaching that bare human words in and of themselves cause life and death. Nor does this proverb mean, nor is the secret that life and death are only in the power of the tongue, so that we deny that physical actions don't contribute to life or death. Well, that's nonsense. Bodily exercise profiteth little. It may not profit as much as godliness, to be sure, but it does profit little. The physical exercise, you can't just simply speak yourself into losing 10 pounds. You've got to go out there and exercise those muscles and cause sweat to come out of your pores. In the same way, death is brought about by many silent mouths and busy hands. But positively, the mystery, the secret of this proverb, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Positively, God is telling us that there is a power in the tongue, a real force that issues in life and death. Consider, words have a tendency to promote. Words have a tendency to promote either life or death. Words leave our lips and go to the ears of others. And when it reaches those ears, it goes inside. And the brain processes those words. And the brain acts or doesn't act based upon the information that it has received. Words influence in this way. They always have a tendency to promote either life or death. They can directly contribute to the preservation of life or its unlawful taking away. Doeg the Edomite. Remember him, children? Doeg the Edomite was there at Nob when David was running from Saul, and David and his men were looking for refreshment. And as David visited with the priests there, Doeg the Edomite took note, and he ratted out David to Saul. And so Saul, learning of this information, locating where, in fact, he was, he goes, and he has everyone killed there, all the priests except one who fled. So words have a tendency to promote either life or death. So Jonathan, we read that Jonathan's words tended to life. Saul was set on David's destruction, but Jonathan spoke good of David unto Saul his father. Let not the king sin against his servant David, because he hath not sinned against thee, because his words to thee word have been very good. His words to you have been good, and now you're treating him this way. And so Jonathan is using his words to put the brakes on his father Saul. For David put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for Israel. Thou sawest it and didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood and slay David without a cause? You know what Jonathan was doing, children? Jonathan was doing with his words what David before had done with his harp. He was calming him down, reasoning with him, and seeking to pull him back from his destructive course. Words are very powerful. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Words always either improve the quality of life or are destructive of the quality of life, even bringing about a kind of death while one lives. Isn't that true? We certainly can't help but be amused sometimes when we read other proverbs, such as Proverbs 27:15, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Those nagging words, those critical words, he can't ever do anything right. It just erodes the confidence. It saps the love. Or consider words that are demeaning and insulting. Proverbs 12:18, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. You see here again, there's this potential to bring health and healing. The wounds of the soul can be closed up by your words. Bones of the heart that have been broken and are out of joint can be straightened and bound up and healed. But at the same time, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, criticizing, demeaning, fault finding, constantly repeating old failures and sins, dredging them up again, though they should have been buried. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, even calling names, children, pointing out the the infirmities or the imperfections, perhaps of someone else's face or body, or the way they speak or the way they act, making fun of them, belittling them. Words have a tendency to improve the quality of life, but can also be destructive of the quality of life. The Apostle Paul urges Christians in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Edifying is a word that means building up. Your words are either building your brother or sister up or tearing them down. And we should not be dismantling each other. We should be building each other up. Now, that doesn't mean that there is no criticism. You know, in a modern culture such as ours, people are quick to point out to the words of Jesus, judge not that ye be not judged. Well, there's such a thing as constructive criticism. Even people in the business world know what constructive criticism is. You praise somebody for the things they are doing well, but out of concern to them, you mention certain things in a spirit that is friendly and humble, in an interest to help them improve overall. But that's not the same thing as that carping and sniping and criticizing. Those cutting words, those poking words, those clubbing words, those burning words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And make no mistake, the potential of the tongue serves not only the interests of life in this life, but of eternal life. For the words of Jesus, they are spirit and they are life. And the words that we ought to give to others are words which, in the end, should tend to the saving of their souls and of our own. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I ask you, do you know this secret? And do you love it? Our culture does not. Our generation does not know or care about this secret, much less love it. Witness masses of children who have been verbally abused and alienated from their parents. Parents who ought to be instructing and teaching, praising and lovingly, pointing out their faults to build them up. Instead, they get the sting and the lash of the tongue. Isn't any wonder that young people have so much anxiety? Isn't any wonder that we find such troubled youths? Or maybe they haven't been verbally abused. They've just become alienated from their parents because dad was too busy at work or too busy watching the Patriots to spend time talking with me. So it's an issue of neglect. There's the absence of speech. There's the radio silence. Our culture doesn't care about this secret, and so marriages are broken. Oh, the destructive force of the tongue within marriage, the untamed tongue. Next, infidelity has almost ruined this institution in America. And what is even further stunning is how many of those who tear apart their marriages by unkind, wounding, and unforgiving words are otherwise intelligent people. They've got their degrees, their secondary degrees. They're succeeding in life, so it seems, but they can't get along because the tongue has hurt. Because there hasn't been confession of sin. That's a major, major exercise of the tongue that contributes to life is when you confess your sin. But it's the silence that just scalds and burns. Or the absence of the forgiveness of sin. I forgive you and I'm not bringing this up again. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. If you know the secret, do you love it? They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And you will know that you love it if you have made use of it, and if you cultivate it. You love and you cultivate your financial well-being. You invest, you improve your own marketability by pursuing education, you cut coupons, you go lean, you save, you invest, and you expect good results, don't you? Now I ask you, do you cultivate your speech? Some of you are very exercise oriented. And you watch your diet and you eat healthily. You're fit as a fiddle. Now, I ask you, is your tongue fit? Are your words healthy? Above your finances, above your body, you should seek to cultivate your tongue, your speech. For the ultimate issues of humanity are by this scripture laid at this doorstep. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Do you know this secret? Do you love it? Well, yes, you say, I'm a Christian. I'm in the church. And everyone knows this secret, don't they? Do all those in the church know the secret? Then why did the Apostle James have to speak at length about the vicious problem of the tongue? And maybe they know it, but do they love it? Do they make use of it for edification, for healing, for life? Do they eat the fruit thereof? You can talk about having a nice garden, but if you don't actually get out there and dig your hands into the soil and pull up the weeds, you won't eat the fruit thereof. Do your words have the tendency to build up or to destroy? To impart life or to take it away? Do some of you good church people have many words, but not many useful words, not many edifying words, not many uplifting words, not many spiritual words? Oh, you can talk and talk and talk and talk, but in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Or on the other hand, does your tongue cause death inadvertently by silence, by neglect, for not talking to people who need to hear you talk? How many of your neighbors perish for your lack of truly edifying speech? A word of concern for their well-being, not just their soul, but their outward well-being. They need to talk. They need to be heard from. They are human souls. They are your neighbors. Oh, but they aren't Christians. I'm not going to talk with them. Should that make a difference? Do you deprive your neighbors, whether on your street or at work, of good words? As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Oh, they're thirsty souls that are all around us and they're passing us by. Are we silent? Or turning from the world out there to the church in here, as it were. How many in the congregation are lonely, hurting, suffering, or just depressed, and they could use a kind, encouraging word? And yet, so many good church people who supposedly know the secret of heaven, they just come and go. No words for you, thank you. No visit, no phone call. Should I add, no words, no visit, no phone call for Jesus? Oh, on that great day when the sheep and the goats are separated, and those on his left will hear, I was sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Now, he's not talking about non-Christians. Now, we do have a duty to them. But all the more for those who are members of his mystical body, and not just the ones that we like, but all of them. Don't tell Jesus that you like only some members of his body. Don't tell him that. I was sick and in prison, and you visited me not. You didn't give me those life-giving words. Do you know the secret? Do you love it? Do you cultivate the power that is in the tongue, knowing that it has the power of life and death? Last, for those who are wise, some encouragements by incentive. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. There is fruit, there is life in the right management of the tongue. Not just fruit or blessings or life for others, but for you, for you. They that love it, they shall eat the fruit thereof. For you, the reward of a conscience void of offense from the guilt of misusing the tongue or not using it as you should. For you, the reward of an edified, balanced, and God-fearing family, as it may please the Lord by constructive, nurturing, life-giving words. Fathers, remember Abraham. I know him. That he will command his children after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. These children, having been cultivated by the cultivating speech of their godly father, will join with him at the gates, contending with their common enemies, Christian mothers. Your children will rise up and call you blessed. Why? In large part because the law of kindness is in her mouth. Moreover, you who fear the Lord, there is the prospect of fruit not only in a healthy, pious family, but a strong, vibrant marriage. By edifying and building up your wives, your husbands, you are blessing yourself. You are speaking life to yourself because they are your flesh. But oh, there is great fruit in the satisfaction of God. and of his final reward and approbation on the final day. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over that which is little. Now be raised up over what is great, and come, enter into the joy of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank thee for thy word that confronts us, that speaks to us, that condemns us, and that makes us live. Lord, would thou please graciously grant that we might have tongues, have speech that helps and does not hurt. Even as our Savior came to speak life-giving words to us. Show us now, Lord, thy grace, we humbly pray. In Jesus' name, amen.